Before we start the show, I've been handed a note here. Let's see. A blue Chevy Nova, I believe it says. License plate 257KTW. Your lights are on.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Your lights are still on. They're still on.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It's not a Chevy Nova, it's a truck. I got that wrong. Sorry. Lights are on. It's not a truck, it's a bus. Large bus, your lights are on. A large bus, license plate 52732W. Your bus is on fire. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Really? Seriously? Good. That's nice. Nice for a change for you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Later on in the show, we have a great guest. Rachel Straub will join us. She's going to talk about weight training without any pain. That's adorable. Weight training. Seriously? What? Weight training? Why would I? Well, Rachel will tell me. Apparently, this is very good for your body and your health. I don't like to pick things up. I hire people to pick things up for me. I don't pick things up that are heavy. Why would I do that? I could hurt myself. I guess if I weight trained, whatever that means, I could pick things up. This is a commercial. I pick things up and I put them down again. You know, whatever. Whatever. I'm not great at that stuff. I've said so many times that I joined Planet Fitness for the fifth time in 5 years, and you would think that I'd be greatly, I had a great physique, but I don't, because when I join, I never go. I join every Christmas, and I never go until the next Christmas just to join up again. They run these specials. I'm not doing a commercial for Planet Fitness. This is just the case. It's something like $1 a month or something. I don't know. Maybe it's $3 and whatever. It ends up being less than $100 for the whole year to go to a gym as many times as you want, or in my case, as little as possible. So I join every year. So what do I get for like $90 a year? I get a t-shirt and a couple of purple pens. Let me tell you something. It's worth the purple pens. They are so cool. Purple ink? Come on. Seriously? That's fantastic. $90 worth. I'm greeted when I walk in to sign up by perky people. They apparently, I'm not making judgments on fitness people, but it's not like they're doctors or lawyers who are just like working in a gym in between. These are people who think that this is their career. And then they offer me a trainer. To which I respond, to train me to do what? To go on the papers? I already go in the toilet. What? To train me to do what? They're fitness trainers. They tell you on each piece of equipment how to properly use it and how to become fit using the apparatus. And I say to them, this apparatus, these things look like I should be confessing to murder or something. These are implements of torture. I think they were all used in World War I and II in order to gain information from the enemies. They don't look like fitness machines to me. They look like elements of torture. Where on the floor is a waterboarding? And the fitness experts laugh at me because they don't know what that is. It is complimentary. It's part of my my membership every year, so I use it. What I do is I join the gym, I go home, I put on the Planet Fitness t-shirt so that I look like I'm a fitness person, although I'm not. And then I go back to the place wearing sneakers and things like that, and the fitness trainer shows me around. And I say to the fitness trainer, I've been here before. I've been here for 5 years. I just never come here. And the only reason I'm getting the tour of your facility is because it comes with the package. Otherwise, I don't give a crap. I'm not going to be using this equipment. Are you serious? Are you kidding me? If it makes hamburgers or julienne's vegetables, I'll use the equipment. Otherwise, I don't think so. The piece of equipment that I usually go to is the that thing that you walk on, that treadmill, I think they call it. Like I'm basically a 210-pound hamster. That's what I am. I get on the thing and I make believe I'm walking somewhere, but I never go anywhere. And in front of me is a large bank of televisions. And if I bring my own headsets, my headphones, I plug it into the treadmill, which actually has a hole for headsets, and a cup holder, of course, because, you know. And I can watch any television show I want by pressing a button. And I say to the people, you know, I could do this at home. I don't have a treadmill, but I do have a TV. So most of that I can do at home, sitting on the couch while I sexually satisfy myself. So I don't really understand, unless you allow that here, I don't understand how this benefits me. The other thing about Planet Fitness in most of these gyms is that they're bisexual. And by that I mean you can say goodbye to your sexuality. They have males and females. It's funny because it is very funny to me. The males wear floppy, sweaty t-shirts and overgrown sweatpants that look like pajamas. And yet the females wear this skin-tight spandex that accentuates every little pimple on their body. That's how tight the stuff is. And they look damn good working out. Men look like sweaty pig hogs. The dichotomy is mystifying to me. What else do you do on a treadmill if you're a guy? You watch the women working out. You don't watch TV. You look. Your eyes start roving around the gym, and you start watching the attractive people. Duh. I wear my Fitbit to the gym when I do go. One day in the gym, or half an hour in the gym, is pretty much all the steps that I need for the entire year. But ironically, I don't even go to the gym. Again, I go the first day, maybe, and that's it for the whole year. And that way, psychologically, I feel fit because I say to myself, I'm a member of a gym. Therefore, I must have satisfied my requirements for health. There are some guys at the gym that just look too good. They're not attractive people, but women don't seem to care about that much. They're not attractive, but they have muscles. They stand up straight. Oh my God, how do you do that? I'm in awe of people that stand up straight. I feel like walking up to them and prodding them and saying, "How? Are there strings attached to your body that hold you up straight like that? How do you do that? How does your spine align?" That rhymes nicely. How do you do that? How does your spine not curve a little bit? How's that possible? Is that from working out, or is that a natural thing? Do you stand against a wall with books on your head every day in order to train your back, in order to be straight? How do you do that? I remember the first time I ever went to a gym. There was a fitness trainer, and he showed me the various pieces of equipment and stood there while I did stuff and corrected me. Scolded me with a rolled up newspaper, pretty much, or playper, whatever the case may be. And I remember going home that night and saying, "Oh, I feel really good. I feel marvelous. I'm in tune with my body. I feel invigorated. I feel like I can tackle the world. That's great." I go to bed, I get up in the morning, and I'm hurting. Every bone in my body is aching like I was just hit by a bus. And by the way, the lights are still on that bus that I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Every bone in my body hurts. Every muscle. When I blink, it's excruciating. I can't swallow. I can't walk because my legs are given out because they are so exhausted. Now I feel horrible. So I call the gym up and I say, I think I broke myself yesterday at the gym. I'm in great pain. And the guy on the phone says to me, "No pain, no gain." I said, "Thanks for the little rhyme. There once was a girl from Nantucket. But what's the point of that? No pain, no gain? I must be gaining a lot because I'm in great pain." "That's the way it is, Ron. You'll see. In like 2 years, that pain will go away and you'll feel wonderful." 2 years. Come on, man. I was in pain for quite a few days. I didn't want to go back to the gym ever again. So there's no dealing with me. There's just no dealing with me. I'm very difficult. I'm not an easy person. I'm very, very difficult. In every sense of the word. I'm not good. I'm not good at all. I need to calm down.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes. And we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Oh my God, that is so relaxing. I've always wanted to be a professional gong player in an orchestra. Can you imagine that? You only have to hit the thing like maybe 3 or 4 times during the entire symphony performance, and they pay you scale, just like all the violinists who are going crazy, like playing every note like for an hour and a half. I get paid the same just to hit the gong like 3 times, because I'm a union member with the orchestra, the United Orchestra Members of Musicians Incorporated, USA. I have to get the minimum. It's great. I don't know where you go. I never saw a gong school anywhere. I've heard of the gong show, watched that on TV for a while, but I never met a professional gong player. I think a gong player is also a percussionist, but I believe it's a specialty. No one hits a gong like a gong specialist. But I don't know where that school would be. The School of Gong. The International House of Gong. Then there's the triangle, which I also believe is percussion, but I'm not sure. I've always wanted to be a professional triangulist. Sounds like a sporting event, doesn't it? And at that crucial point in the symphony, in the song, I get my little metal stick, and I just start banging the sides of that triangle like there's no tomorrow. And that's an art in itself. I go to the symphony every once in a while with my girl. With my girl. Sounds like I'm in a cowboy movie. Do-si-do with your girl. Rustle up some grub with Russell. I go to the symphony. She likes to go to the symphony. I make believe I like to go because unless you make her happy, your life can be hell. So I go to the symphony. I look at it as a place to go to get some sleep, which is an art form in itself. You have to sleep during the symphony if you're a guy, but you can't let other people know. So you have to keep your head upright. You can't list off to the side. You have to look like you're watching, but you're really sleeping, which means no snoring, no head tilt. It's a great art in itself, more of an art than those people on the stage playing those instruments. But the only thing to do when you're sitting in a theater watching a symphony orchestra, the only thing to do is to watch the conductor. The conductor looks like he or she is having a series of convulsions. It's like some type of weird medical condition. They're just flopping all over the place, waving a little stick around. And it's, on the surface, it looks like really stupid. It's one of the stupidest looking things you can ever see. Some kind of guy whose hair is not totally staying on the top of his head. Just flailing around like one of those wavy characters in front of the used car places. You know, the thing like when the wind kicks up, this large streamer man starts like waving in the wind. That's what the conductor looks like to me. These are people that should be conductors of trains and not orchestras. They just stand up there and they just move around. And no, I'm watching the orchestra, the instrumental players there, whatever you call those plays, people, those orchestra people. They're not looking at the conductor at all. They're looking at the music. They don't give a crap if he's standing there or not. Guy can wave around as much as he can. These people are reading the music. They're playing what's on the music sheet. They may glance up at him once in a while and say to themselves, look at that stupid fool, like moving around, getting all the credit. I'm the one making the music off the music sheet. That guy's just dancing around up there. What the hell's going on with this guy? He gets all the credit. Well, I think the real credit with him is during rehearsals. I mean, then you're rehearsing the piece and the conductor is saying, no, you come in here and you're coming over there and all right, let's try it again with a little bit more vibrancy. And, you know, that's what that's the rehearsals that the conductor is involved in. During the performance itself, conductor might as well just go across the street and have a ham and cheese sandwich while these people play the thing. They've already been rehearsed. They already do it perfectly in rehearsal. There's no point in having the conductor stand up there whatsoever. The only point is to entertain me somehow, like a puppet. Just flail around. Just flail around like you haven't taken your medication or something. There's nothing else to do in a symphony. There's no person walking around the theater going, hot dogs here, get your soda, ice cream. They don't have those things in a theater. You can't do anything but sit there. I take the little program. They always give you a program. Whenever you walk into a theater, they give you a program about whatever's going on and things that are coming up and things like that to make you come back. You just take the program, you roll it up like you're going to swat a fly, and that's about all you do with the damn thing. You sit there with a rolled up program in your hand trying to sleep in a very professional manner. There's nothing else to do at a symphony at all. Nothing. I don't recognize any of the stuff. I recognize a couple of Beethoven things. By the way, why do symphonies have to be 45 minutes long? I mean, seriously, I thought Dashboard Light was a long song. I thought American Pie was a long song. Stairway to Heaven was a long song. Symphonies are 45 minutes long. That's a long song. I mean, when a symphony starts, I immediately say to myself, here we go. And I look at my watch. Okay, 42 minutes left, 41 minutes left, 40 minutes left. What a long time for a song. And symphonies just repeat themselves. They repeat the same thing over and over and over and over again until approximately 45 minutes have elapsed. Then it ends in a crescendo, and that wakes you up, and you go home. What a... I never understood it. Never understood it. Just total repetition over and over and over again. It sounds like I'm complaining, but I'm not. I'm stating what I believe to be fact. My truth might be different than your truth, or you may connect with me, I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you own a bus with license plate 527K2W, your bus is on fire. And I'm just saying. When we come back, we're going to talk to a fitness expert about weight training. That's training while you just wait. You just wait for something to happen. Of course I kid her. That's probably a very difficult thing to do. Do you think I should be kidding weight trainers? Oh! I know, they can beat the crap out of me. What am I doing? That's really a stupid idea. We'll take a little commercial break, and then we'll come back with the weight training thing. And maybe by listening to the interview, I can get into better shape very, very easily. Just by listening. That would be nice.
It's like every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only at Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
Rachel Straub joins us now. We're talking about weight training without injury. Is that possible?
Yes, that is possible if you learn how to weight train properly, which is why we wrote the book.
Why is weight training so important?
It's really important for long-term health, mobility, maintaining strength and independence, and it's actually part of the health recommendations currently that all adults should be doing at least 2 days a week.
Okay, when you say all adults, is there a point where you got to be kind of careful and not necessarily do
it? Yes, it's really healthy adults. And if you have any type of health conditions, then you should get doctor clearance before,
okay,
you know, continuing any type of exercise program.
Okay, because I don't think anybody over the age of 50 years old doesn't have a health concern.
Yes, it depends on the severity of the health concern, obviously. But
okay,
even if you are weight training, you know, you have to be careful how much weight you're using and what have you.
So is weight training always appropriate? It's just the weight itself, maybe to do a lesser weight or?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so you can do a lesser weight. I mean, you could also do your body weight only and exercise like push-ups, squats. You could also apply any exercise, you know, with very minimal to no weight at all just to get the proper movement pattern.
Okay.
So you can really adapt it depending on the condition and the person.
Now, this is called biomechanics, I understand. What exactly is that?
Oh, in terms of my, I have my master's in biomechanics,
right,
and I'm currently getting my PhD.
Right.
It's basically the study of human movement.
Oh,
so I have expertise in injury prevention, understanding forces at the joint. So I really have a strong background in that area to decipher what's a proper versus improper movement and what's putting people at risk.
I love the name of that specialty. It's so cool.
Yes, so it's really related. It's really the foundation for a lot of the physical therapy recommendations because it's the research behind that.
All right. I have heard that when you gain muscles that you also put weight on, and a lot of people do fitness training in order to lose weight. How does that work out as a balance?
Yeah, so I mean if you're not, you know, practicing a weight loss program or just starting to weight train, if depending on, you know, the program you're doing, you can potentially put on more muscle. But if you're not also losing fat, then you're just going to get more size and you're not going to get any more leanness. So it's really, you know, combination of the two. Because when you don't see muscle, it's because it's covered in fat.
So if it's
covered in fat, it doesn't matter how big you are, you're not going to see it.
All right.
You're going to see the size, but not the actual cuts.
Okay. But when I am weight training, so to speak, I am also reducing the fat?
Yes, because you're burning calories, yes.
All
but
right.
if you're not practicing caloric restriction and you're not trying to lose weight,
right.
then but that doesn't mean, for most older adults, they're not out to be on the front cover of any magazine. They're just trying
no.
to increase the mobility and strength.
No front
so
cover.
So it's really, that's more bodybuilding where you get into strict, diet programs and what have you versus the average adult is just looking for better health and well-being.
Okay. So putting on muscle is a good thing. In other words, what we're talking about is good for anybody at every age, as long as it's not going to cause you any physical harm. Otherwise, you recommend it just for living.
Yes, yes. But I mean, a lot of people do not weight train at all, and as they get older, they have poor balance.
Gotcha.
They have poor posture. They can't get out of a chair. They lose their independence, and that all comes down to, poor strength and mobility.
And I guess as you get older and you might be more concerned about various health concerns and diseases and stuff, that the healthier you are, the more you can ward off those diseases or get through them through therapy better?
Yes. So, it's also, even people who are undergoing cancer, they recommend exercise. You just have to adjust it accordingly. So, as I said, bodybuilders weight train and also people in their 80s. So it's the program that has to be adjusted.
Okay.
So people have to understand that this is not just meant for the elite athlete.
Right. Okay. Let me ask you another question here. It's kind of a sensitive question, a little off topic. But there are some people that weight train. Can you weight train to excess to the point where no clothing will ever fit you, but you're very, very muscular and very lean?
A lot of people, it's depending, to really put on a large size of bulk, you really have to be lifting a tremendous amounts of weight.
All right.
So that's, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, such as taking.
Yeah. I guess
steroids.
That's true. That's true. And I see people like eating a lot of whey and taking this powder stuff. But can there be an obsession with exercise?
Oh, yes, there can. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course there can. And, a lot of people don't have, a lot of the average person doesn't need to be doing all these extra protein supplements. They just can get that through their everyday diet.
Yeah.
This book is really geared towards the person who's just looking to increase their health and well-being and just add weight training to their, yes, this applies to everyone. This is not how to, go into an extreme sport.
Okay. So, Rachel, if I walk around the block, a couple of times a day, and if I wanted to kind of up this into increasing the strength of my muscles, if I just had like a 5-pound weight in each hand while I was walking, am I doing what you're talking about, or is that not enough?
No, I'm not. I'm talking more about purposeful exercise. Not walking, but actually doing like squats, push-ups, rows. We're working specifically specific muscle groups.
So it's not a question of just adding weight to whatever you
no,
do.
No, adding a weight vest or whatever to
morning
walk.
Yeah,
no, that's not.
All right, which possibly could even hurt you, I guess.
Yes, it can. That could just,
All right, okay. Is there a better time of the day to do training or any type of fitness or muscle training, weight training? Is it better in the morning, better in the evening? Is there it's like watering your lawn,
That's the debated topic, but it basically comes down to the person. Some of us are more morning people, some of us are not.
Okay.
And when you're weight training, you have to be careful because you can hurt yourself and it requires more skill and awareness than if you're just going to go out for a walk. So if you try to push yourself when you're off, your form is going to be off and you're more likely to hurt yourself. So that's the bigger concern.
So
not whether you're getting in the gym at 6 in the morning versus 5 o'clock at night.
I got you. Okay. So what is the message of the book per se? Is it that this is a healthy means with but you have to know what you're doing?
It's basically to teach you how to, so you know what you're doing.
Okay.
So a lot of people go to the gym and there's just equipment everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's 10 ways to do a back move. There's you know, there's just, yes, overwhelming, and then you may move, and then there's a whole new slew of equipment, and it's just, you know, there's all these trainers. It's like, oh goodness, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So it's basically to take a step back and just show you the basics and explain what's right versus wrong in the basic fundamental weight training moves. So you can apply that into any setting, even if it's at home.
Yeah. I did some basic muscle training earlier in my career, and I do remember that there was some pain involved, and they say no pain, no gain. Is there anything to that, or was I doing something
wrong? Well, I mean, there's called delay muscle soreness, so I mean, that can happen, but if you're overextending it, obviously, like anything, you could, and you know, but as initially, you can expect, you know, just muscle soreness, and probably most people have experienced that even if they just go out for too long of a, you know, stretch or hike on a vacation.
That's true, too.
So it's the same thing. So it's just, you know, adjusting slowly and not overdoing it and, you know, learning a consistent program.
Yeah, I guess it is adjustment, because sometimes if I get a massage, I'll be in pain the next day, and it's kind of like, well, I thought this was supposed to be good, but yet it hurts. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, okay. All right. Is there anything you're supposed to do specifically diet-wise or drinking water-wise or something when you are doing weight training?
Well, I mean, you shouldn't, obviously, you should, you know, have some food in your system, whether, you know, that's just a small snack before you go, or so you don't fatigue excessively, you know, because, and that's the same with any exercise.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to just be able to give your best effort, and if you're, you know, low on gas, your performance is going to suffer.
Okay. So we're not talking about, when we're talking about weight training, we're not talking about specifically giving yourself huge muscles. We're talking about giving yourself strength in your body.
Yes, and I want to say this book, you know, is doctor endorsed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, and you know, just meant for the average person looking to improve their exercise.
Very cool.
Routine and learn how to do it safely, because that's a big concern with adults is they've been hurt, not necessarily weight training, but in work or whatever, and they're afraid to even attempt such a thing.
Well,
so this is just to give you confidence and learn how to do it properly.
I mean, you're right, because I mean, some people like to jog, but you can really hurt yourself if you don't know what you're doing in that sense.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then just even in running, you know, about 90% of people who run get hurt.
I know.
And the most common place is the knee.
Yes.
And a big part, if with knee problems, is poor hip strength.
Yes.
So it all comes back to strengthening movements, which is what this book is meant to do, to improve whatever type of activity or non-activity you are or not involved in.
So there is a way to know what you're doing, and you get the book, and then you got that there. It's
so people can learn more on my website at www.weighttrainingwoi.com. Uh-huh. There's also a great, you know, slew of articles on there for people that are sick, all the way up to bodybuilders and everything in between, and, you know, including older adults.
Okay.
So I encourage people even to visit that.
Give me the website one more time, please.
Yes, it's www.weighttrainingwoi.com.
Perfect. Weight Training Without Injury is the name of the book. I'm sure it's you get more information about that on the website as well. Rachel, it's been informative. There's stuff I didn't know here that I've learned, so that makes it a good thing.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. This has been an educational experience for me. I hope it has been for you as well. If not, no big deal. No big deal. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. I can only hope that you'll join me then. That's all I can do. I can't do anything else. I'm not capable. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.